are now listening to The Mothership with Josie Booth here on Radio Reverb. If it's the first time you've tuned in, this show is centred all around becoming a new mum here in Brighton. And this month's theme is being pregnant. As I produce and present the show, I am actually going through each stage myself, so I'm totally with you ladies who might be tuning in and going through the same things. So on this month's show, I will be featuring our lovely resident GP, who's going to be answering your questions on life around being pregnant. We have the lovely Leonie from Centered Space Yoga, who's going to be giving us some tips on how to stay healthy and kind of peaceful and calm during your pregnancy. And finally, we have a catch up with some lovely NCT local girls who are going through pregnancy around the same stage as myself. So we're catching up and just discussing about our experiences. That'll all be squished in with usual segments that we like to throw into the show. So yeah, stay tuned, and up for you now. We have our lovely local GP, Dr. Tristan, who answers questions for us on a variety of subjects. Dr. Tristan, how are you?
I'm very good, thank you, Josie.
So this week we're chatting about being pregnant. It's the complete unknown for new mums, and indeed for second or third time mums. It can be a completely different experience. Do you get a lot of ladies coming in panicking about how their life is going to change now they are pregnant?
We certainly do. People do worry about this a lot. Life is going to change massively, but you do get 9 months to get ready.
Your body's preparing you, would you say?
Yes, yeah, it sounds like a long time. Probably goes quicker than you expect. And if you think you're struggling through it, then don't suffer in silence. You need to discuss it with your midwife or GP.
Key concerns, I mean, miscarriage is something that comes up quite a lot. Is that something that you are faced with quite frequently in the surgery?
Yes, definitely. Miscarriage is really common. It sounds quite sad, but it's sort of the natural part of getting pregnant. I think 20% of women miscarry before 12 weeks, and that's normally because of a problem with the baby's genes, and the body checks that everything is okay to continue, and then stops the pregnancy if it isn't. So it's all part of the natural process.
So that whole thing about the first 12 weeks being really the most crucial in a pregnancy, it is accurate?
Yeah, that if you're going to miscarry, it's usually within those first 12 weeks.
Right, okay. And so generally taking care of yourself, especially over that period, is really, really crucial, I guess.
It's very important, but there's not much you can do to stop it happening if it's going to happen. Like I said, it's your body's way of making sure that you're going to have a healthy baby.
Okay. So it is, yeah, natural process. I guess fear of birth is something that, you know, I've certainly experienced. Is that something that ladies come and kind of voice those concerns to you?
I probably don't see so much, because the midwives are very good and take care of everything. Birth is a very different experience for everybody. For some people it's harder. But just remember that your body is perfectly designed to give birth. We've been doing it for centuries, and there's lots of different ways you can do it. It's all about finding the one that you find most comfortable.
I guess obviously you're coming from a medical background, but you know, there's more holistic options these days, isn't there?
Yeah.
So there's water births and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, there is a lot of different ways, and you do have the choice. But I would always take advice from your midwife or doctor if they give you specific advice about how you should give birth.
Sure, absolutely. So for our first myth of today, because you're very good at quashing these myths, so, you know, is it true that you should eat for two during pregnancy?
Certainly not. It's a common misconception, and it is a bit of a problem these days with people putting on too much weight. Your body doesn't actually need any extra energy in the first 6 months. And so the guidelines are that you should increase your diet by about 200 calories at the end of pregnancy. That's half a cheese sandwich.
200 calories, is that all?
That's it, yeah.
But I thought I was going to be able to eat all the pies.
I'm afraid not. You need to keep healthy and balanced, and you really don't need to eat very much more at all.
And actually, I guess that, you know, having a lot of strength for birthing is quite key
And if you were overweight, or if there were...
You need to keep healthy. They want you to do exercise, you know, 30 minutes of exercise a day, and keep your weight under control. And that reduces your chances of having complications, you know, throughout your pregnancy and after your pregnancy.
Did you say, were there a couple of key complications?
If you're overweight, you're at risk of diabetes and blood clots in your legs. There's a lot of potentially serious things.
Sure. Okay. And so there's a couple of food types that you hear a lot of myths surrounding. So, you know, certain cheeses. Like, my favourite is camembert. Can you eat camembert?
You can if it's been cooked.
Okay.
You can have a lot of things, actually. They've relaxed their guidelines a little bit recently. Mouldy cheese needs to be cooked before you eat it.
Fair enough. Because, I mean, it seems actually globally there's quite different rules on what you can and can't do. Like, I get the impression that, you know, maybe alcohol consumption is a bit more common during pregnancy in other countries. In the UK, I've been kind of following is that you're allowed to one or two units maybe once a week max. So it's interesting, these kind of cultural differences.
I think they just don't really know with alcohol. We know that it's not good for the growing baby, and we don't know if there is a safe amount, but I think if you are, then it's best to stick to a tiny bit, like you said.
Yeah, you don't want to risk it, especially in that first trimester, I guess. So what about my other total obsession, smoked salmon?
You'll be pleased to hear that that is safe. You can even have raw fish in sushi, as long as it's been frozen before you eat it.
I've avoided sushi for my whole pregnancy, how annoying.
Yeah.
Crikey.
You do have to watch out for tuna, because that contains mercury, so you can't have too much of that. I would have a look on the NHS website.
Okay. Sorry, this is very food related, but you know, food's quite a big thing during pregnancy, so I need to know these things. What about cold meats?
They're fine. Yeah, you can eat those. You can even have the cured meats if they've been cooked or frozen again. Kills off anything that's harmful in there. So that's all safe.
Okay. Last food thing, because I think any ladies that are listening would be keen to know this one. Chocolate.
Chocolate's fine.
Yay!
But not too much. It does have a bit of caffeine in it, you can have a little bit. I think the key is maintaining a healthy, balanced diet. You don't have to torture yourself. You can still have some of your treats, just probably in smaller amounts.
I did have a bit of a panic when I ate my whole lint rabbit the other day, and my baby was having what felt like heart palpitations, but I think it was just intense hiccups. But, it freaked me out a little bit. I think I gave him a bit of a sugar rush, so that scared me. So, going on to another myth sent in, does the shape of your bump dictate the sex of the baby?
I'm afraid it doesn't.
There we go. That's a shock.
People do like to compare and come up with their theories, it's 50-50 whether you're going to have a girl or a boy.
But it is down to the boy's sperm, isn't it?
Well, it's the sperm will dictate if it's male or female.
So there you go. It's all down to you guys. Dr. Tristan, that's been very insightful. Thank you for imparting your wisdom with us again.
Thank you. No problem.
And we will be speaking with you next month for our final stages special. As always, guys, if you would like to ask Dr. Tristan a question, do get in touch. You can message in via the Radio Reverb website. You can also drop us a line via our dedicated Mothership Facebook page.
Radio Reverb.
I probed into its mysteries. Every clue told me a different story. Radio Reverb.
I'm here with some lovely ladies that I met from our local Brighton NCT class, and we're all actually due a few days apart, so that's all very, very exciting. So I've got the lovely Becca.
Hello.
That's Becca, and we've got Hannah.
Hiya.
Kicking off right at the start, which feels like an age away now, did you know that you were pregnant through symptoms initially, or were you keeping a track of things? On to you, Becca.
I went through IVF treatment, so I was very aware of the whole process from ages before it started.
You were keeping a track of it very finitely. I was as well. So literally people were like, oh, did you know? It's like, yes, I knew the second I was. What about you, Hannah?
We were trying, yeah. but we had only just sort of started trying. So I kind of had a feeling that I might be, but I didn't have many symptoms that were that different from, like, just general, like, premenstrual symptoms.
Yeah.
So it wasn't until we sort of did the tests.
That's the funny thing, actually, that actually you do get a lot of the symptoms are just like coming on a period. Yeah. It's like, ooh, which one is it? So the first 12 weeks are pretty notorious as being quite challenging, and maybe one of the most challenging trimesters. Did you guys suffer much, Becca?
No, not really at all. I think I'm more worried about lack of symptoms and thought, oh, maybe that means that it's gone or I don't really understand. But, yeah, I was very lucky and a slight bit of nausea, but that's it, really.
Yeah. Oh, that's pretty sweet for your first trimester. And it's your first child, isn't it?
Yeah.
And what about you, Hannah?
Yeah, I wasn't quite as lucky. I mean, the symptoms weren't too bad, but I was very tired and there was quite a bit of nausea.
Yeah.
And just a lot of anxiety. I hadn't really banked on the level of anxiety.
Right, OK. What, just about kind of fear that something might go wrong? And
you'd always worry about getting pregnant, and then suddenly you're pregnant, and you're like, oh, my God, don't go away.
Yeah. It's like the biggest thing that's ever happened to anyone. Well, to me anyway. I assume it's the same for you guys. Yeah, I was really tired. I needed lots of afternoon naps. I remember I was visiting some family in Cornwall, and we went for, like, a tiny walk, and I had to come and have, like, a snooze afterwards, and I think that was a sign. But, yeah, I actually ended up going travelling at the end of the first trimester, and I remember being in China, and we were doing some hikes up the Great Wall and stuff, and breathlessness was definitely kicking in a lot, and that was something that I hadn't really banked on at that period. I didn't experience too much nausea or sickness, which is often the biggie that everyone talks about for that period. So did you guys struggle with not telling people that you were pregnant, or did you let people know early on?
I let lots of my closer friends know early on, I think because it was a longer process than I'd spoken to a few of them, and that meant that they all asked questions, but then wider friends kept it a secret until the 3 months. Yeah. And even beyond that, because I'd got used to not telling people, so then I ended up not telling people until about 5 months.
Yeah, what about you, Hannah?
No, didn't tell anyone until the 12-week scan.
Just you and your partner?
Pretty much, and my little sister.
Yeah,
we just didn't really feel that we could. Yeah. And I didn't find too many problems. I did find it a bit strange. I thought people at work might notice that I wasn't drinking coffee or anything, but no, nobody really paid much attention at all.
Really?
No.
It was blokes in my company that have kids, and blokes just don't have the kind of sensitivity around, you know, if it was meant to be secret. It's like, Josie, why are you drinking decaf coffee? It's like, you know, I just like the taste of it, you know, having to find little techniques to try and get around it. It makes things harder, definitely, when you can't communicate with as many people as you'd like to. Moving into the second trimester, so again, I was away for quite a lot of it. Walking upstairs were a bit of a killer for me, but other than that, I think I was mostly fine. And obviously being in the sun was something that I was quite aware of, just because, you know, you don't want to overheat for the baby, but also your skin's more sensitive, I believe. How did you guys fare for the second trimester?
I think I was more tired at the beginning of the second trimester, almost what you expect to go away at the end of the first trimester. Yeah. I got more of that in the second. But obviously there's that relief in the second trimester where you're like, actually, this is really happening and it's all going on and you talk to more people. So it's quite exciting from that point on. It gets more and more exciting. So I enjoyed the second trimester.
Yeah. What about you, Hannah?
Yeah, no, I really enjoyed the second trimester too. I felt, as soon as I got to sort of week 12, I felt fine and had a lot more energy again.
Yeah.
And then especially once you get to like sort of the 20-week scan stage and you see everything's all good, then it's just a big relief. And yeah, it was a really nice time actually.
Yeah, I think definitely for me, again, the communication, being able to talk to people about it, let everybody know why my behaviour might have been slightly offish, like avoiding social occasions and all that sort of stuff. It kind of definitely aided the second period. Although, again, I was away for a huge amount of it. So it's quite nice because I felt like, you know, the first trimester is that period where you're all really excited, but obviously, and you don't really know what's going to happen. It's quite new if it's your first child. And then obviously the third, you're getting so close. That's super exciting. But I just missed out the second a little bit because I was just away having fun in the sun. Becca, so we're now in our third trimester and we were just talking about your bike. And I know you've been cycling up hills and you have been quite active. Do you think it's down to your mental outlook, how your body feels during pregnancy? Would you say your gung-ho approach is Who did you wore?
I think generally I've slowed down a lot, okay. And it's just that I'm usually quite an active person.
Right.
So although I'm on my bike going around town, I'm not going on big, long, yeah. kind of 20-mile, 30-mile bike rides and not doing big off-road things. And actually I've cut back on lots of activities.
Okay.
But by just going around town on the bike, it just gives me just that little bit of exercise that I need to be able to survive to get through. And without that, I get a bit fidgety and, yeah.
Yeah, actually, restless leg syndrome is a thing, isn't it? Yeah. Have you guys experienced that?
No. Right.
I have.
Have you?
Yeah, I've had it quite badly the other day, 2 days ago, when I came back from France. I think I've been walking all day just around Bordeaux and then got a flight back.
Yeah.
And, yeah, maybe something to do with the flight or maybe being on my feet all day. And then, yeah, just all night my legs were just kind of fidgety and twitchy. And, yeah, it's quite horrible. But
it's, I think for me it's the claustrophobicness. Like, where was I? I was sitting somewhere where it was a really compact space. And knowing that I couldn't move my legs started to really play on my mind. And I'm quite fidgety at the best of times. So, Hannah, with yourself, do you feel that, you know, a lot of the physical aspects of pregnancy have been down to the way you've mentally felt?
I don't know, to be honest. I think initially, like, you do think you have that stigma, like, I'm pregnant, I must be tired.
Yeah.
Kind of got over that a bit the second trimester and did get back to the gym a little bit more.
What happened?
But since the third trimester, I don't think it's in your brain. I think I'm just tired now. Yeah, both physically and mentally.
You're done. You're ready to get this baby out. Yeah, I think for me, the third trimester's been fine, but the last month or so, I've been waking up, I've been having a bit of insomnia, which I think I've told people about in the class, which has been quite annoying, because everyone's like, get all the sleep you can in, and it's like, well, I'm not sleeping, I'm just waking up with these hormones, which I've been told by my midwife is basically the time patterns that the baby will probably be waking up in the real world, so
I know.
I was like, woo! But, you know, at least then you've got the baby to play with. They've got, you know, something nice at the other end of it, not just me lying in the pitch black counting sheep, which is quite depressing. You know, I've had a few pelvic aches and pains. Relatively, it's been quite smooth, considering I've got a human inside me. What about you guys? How, you know, for your final trimester, we've got, like, real live big babies that probably could be born now and would be totally fine. Has it surprised you how smooth it's been?
No, I think most of the time I get really surprised. Like, I can even stand up and forget that I'm pregnant for a few seconds, and then, you know, you kind of think, oh, yeah, I'm pregnant, and it's there, and, you know, there's this big thing. And, you know, like you, I've had a few kind of pelvic kind of pains and things when I've tried to do too much, and that's, you know, a bit of a reality check in terms that, oh, you do need to slow down, and there is a baby inside me. But it's quite amazing how much you can still do and get on with, and how well your body just adapts to it, really, and lets you carry on.
Yeah. And what about yourself, Emma?
Yeah, no, I've been quite impressed too, like, just how easy it is to pretty much carry on as normal.
Yeah.
Sometimes when you sort of forget, try and walk quickly up a hill and then you start Braxton Hicks, it's a bit awkward. But generally, yeah, it's amazing how you fit it in and still body seems to work pretty well.
I'm waiting for, well, I guess the birth is going to be the crunch time where we really see how serious this baby malarkey is. And have you had any scares? Have there been any moments where either of you have had a bit of a panic and you might have had to see a doctor or...
I had a scare early on, maybe just before 12 weeks.
Yeah.
Just stomach cramps and things and a little bit of bleeding and you think, oh, what does this mean? And actually, I don't think I was too scared about it, but I felt like I needed to get it checked. It didn't feel like it was getting worse and worse, but it was just going on for a couple of days and I thought I should get it checked. And I think in the end it was just a stomach bug and, it was all fine.
Yeah. And in yourself, Hannah, have you been, has it been pretty plain sailing for you?
Pretty much. I did have a little bit of spotting very early on, which turns out was completely normal, but I didn't realise. So, yeah, but after spoke to the midwife, it was all fine, and since then it's been all good.
Yeah, I mean, we were just chatting about the fact that you've got a friend, Becca, who's just recently had a child. Mm. So, I've got a couple of friends who are due before me, and there's been that whole chatting about symptoms. And my friend saying, oh, when she got her first kick, I think I was in the Philippines around the period when I thought I should be getting kicks and I wasn't feeling them. So for me, it was kind of that sense of, wait, is the baby okay? Where is he? I think, is it before around the 20-week scan that the baby started kicking? I can't remember.
I think so.
Around that time. Yeah, so I think I did end up getting an extra early scan in the Philippines before I came home because I just thought, just want to double check. And it, you know, it wasn't really a scare, but it was just one of those, you do sometimes mark yourself against your peers, which can be a good thing, but also a bit of a bad thing at times. What would you say has been the most challenging aspect of being pregnant, or has there not been one?
I think kind of slowing down, maybe, actually realising that you need to slow down. And kind of, you generally carry on trying to do everything, and actually that realisation that probably are going to be a bit more tired, need a bit more sleep, can't do as many big active things, and you have to sometimes let someone else do things for you. But I think that's quite a good thing to learn anyway, and it's good for the baby when it comes, because things will change.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think it's probably the worry, like, yeah, just like having something that's more important than there's ever been before, and just worrying, and then sort of the realisation that you're probably never going to stop worrying now, yeah, like ever again, until maybe 18, but yeah, I don't even know then.
It's weird, isn't it? My sister-in-law was saying that to me. She said, Josie, welcome to, yeah, a world of forever being anxious and worried about everything. And I thought, wow, that's so true, because once they're here, then... gosh, then the fun really starts.
Do you know the decisions, isn't it? That, yeah, you know, those big things when I was trying to decide whether to have, like, the whooping cough vaccine. And, yeah, it's just a thing, and it's just a choice that you make, and I don't feel strongly either way, but suddenly you're just like, oh, but what's the right answer? I can't, yeah, get it wrong, because it's not me, it's someone else. And that just really, yeah, makes you worry that you just might make the wrong choice for another person.
Yeah, it's a whole new world, isn't it? Learning about everything to do with babies. It's just, gosh, there's so much stuff that I never knew about. And then positives. So, you know, positives to being pregnant. For me personally, feeling the baby kicking has been an amazing experience, especially now. It's so big, and it just feels, I always compare it to a little whale under my tummy, because it's just these really elegant movements. Knowing that you've got something far greater to think about is quite humbling experience, I'd say. And also being healthy, having to be healthy, it's quite liberating. You know, I've slept more despite, you know, the odd bits of insomnia here and there, but, you know, I've been a lot better to myself, the odd tipple of booze here and there, but 10 months without drinking properly has been pretty great. So do you have any other things that kind of, from a positive side of things, you've
Yeah, I'd totally agree with you. I mean, definitely, you know, that, you know, feeling the baby inside you. It's an experience. I was just talking to someone, a friend earlier, about it, that, you know, like, you can't ever experience anything like that without being pregnant, and just the idea of having someone inside you, and you just feel that there's always someone with you. The more it grows, the more that's a real person who's, you know, following you within your day, which is amazing. Yeah. And then again, just that being healthy is really nice as well. It's almost, yeah, it's good to have a break from, you know, just going out and doing things and actually just looking after yourself. It's,
absolutely,
yeah.
And would you agree, Hannah, or have you?
Yeah, no, definitely. The lifestyle is amazing.
You get so much more done.
Yeah. So really good quality sleep and no booze and no caffeine. It does make quite an amazing difference whether or not I'll carry on.
Yeah. We'll be calling each other at 3 a.m, like a glass of wine.
And the kicking's obviously amazing as well. It's kind of like having a little friend with you all the time.
Yes.
It's going to be strange when it's not there, I suppose, but I suppose there'll be something in its place outside.
Quite surprising. I'll miss having that. And then finally, ladies, we've got a month to go-ish between us, so are you feeling ready?
I don't know if you ever feel ready for when it's going to happen, but I feel like I could be ready if I need to be ready, if that makes sense, but... It's such an unknown, I think, when it's your first child, especially, you know, you just, you know, people talk about labour and there's different stories, and those stories are just them remembering this big experience when they hadn't slept. So it's really hard to have an idea of what it really will be. And yeah, scary.
Yeah, we're getting there. We're trying to move house next week. Should be exciting. But I don't know emotionally if I'm ready. I don't know if you ever are.
Mm.
It's just so hard to comprehend what it will be like.
Yeah.
It's just completely different. But we're excited.
Yeah.
So
even the thought of going on maternity and not being at work, I'm thinking, what am I going to do with myself? I've got a few weeks and, you know, I won't have to get up. I won't have an alarm. It's going to be bonkers. Anyway, thank you so much for chatting with us today, ladies. I'm sure I'll be picking your brains for interviews in the future.
Thank you to Hannah and Becca there for filling us in on their experience of being pregnant. Wowzers, this show is flying by, and I've got a lot of content to squeeze into an hour. as always, we do love to hear from you here, so do get in touch via the Radio Reverb website or indeed my Facebook page, which is just the Mothership, so come check it out. Up for you now, I have got a catch up with the lovely Leonie, who is our yoga guru, I like to think of her as, from Centered Space. Leonie, thanks for coming to catch up with me and fill us in on your yoga offering. You are the founder of Centered Space in based in Hanover, correct?
Yes, that's right. I teach pregnancy yoga at Hanover Centre.
Fab. And how long have you been doing that for?
Just over 10 years now.
And I understand that you've got quite a flock of children of your own.
Yeah. I've got 4 children from 15 down to 4 years old, and that's why I teach, because I really found that yoga was absolutely the most helpful thing I did.
So yoga is increasing in popularity generally, but there does seem to be a rise in a yoga amongst pregnant women. Could you tell us a bit about some of the benefits of yoga?
One of the main developments, and I suppose that's been really linked, is there's scientific support now that really shows that both physiologically, in terms of supporting the woman's body, but also emotionally, how yoga can really help release anxiety. Sometimes women come to my class who've been very anxious before their pregnancies anyway. A lot of women have gone through quite a long journey to get pregnant, you know, for lots of different reasons, so they can be they can hold quite a lot, which then manifests in their body. Maybe they have stress-related injuries or start, you know, all that kind of thing. So the physical side and the emotional side of yoga can be really, really informative to how that woman then goes on through her birth, how her attitude to birth can be shifted. Because I think there's a split nowadays that quite a lot of birth has become quite medicalized. Quite a lot of women, you know, maybe have had a medicalized conception even, so it becomes that they have given away quite a lot of their authority already to, say, a doctor or a team of specialists who have sort of taken over that woman's body. And the benefit of pregnancy yoga is that you can give back that authority to the woman, getting her to come into a space where she's quiet, where she tunes into her body, tunes into her breath, really simple stuff, so that she recognises that she has the natural skills to be able to support her baby, to be in her body, to heal the stuff that's going on, maybe physically, stuff like sciatica, heartburn, lower back pains, upper back pains, pelvic stuff, you know, a lot of things that might be exacerbated through carrying weight. And that she can then take that into her birth as well, and that whatever kind of birth she ends up having, whether it's completely natural, whether it has any level of help, that she can then cope with that.
And do you tend to notice that shift in ladies that attend your class?
I notice a really tangible shift, actually. Some women, you know, really more dramatic than others. Some are very, very dramatic. Some women come to me, as I say, sort of, you know, sometimes it's the emotional stuff more than the physical difficulties that really shift. So sometimes I'll get a woman who's suffered with depression, for instance, or lifelong anxiety, and as I say, has had stuff that's made her anxious about this particular pregnancy. And just through the meditation and the sort of very slow, you know, considerate and considered way of moving, that they come back into their body in a way that they haven't ever been there before. So that was my own experience with pregnancy yoga. The first time when I was pregnant with my son, I'd done very fast, jumpy Ashtanga Vinyasa yoga before I was pregnant with my oldest, who's now 15. And I went to a pregnancy yoga class, and it was the first time that I'd been really still. And, you know, the amount of stuff that came up, it was, you know, as you say, quite rightly, the word is a journey. And at a time where you're going through lots of shift anyway, your body is changing on a daily basis, you're considering your identity, all kinds of huge emotional things are happening anyhow, that you can really access things on a deeper philosophical level as well as a physical level than other times in your life.
And I guess contrary to what a lot of people think, fitness is something that you do really need to maintain during pregnancy, isn't it? Yoga, would you say, does kind of facilitate that strength for birth?
Definitely. I mean, obviously, there are key factors. So lung capacity is one that people often don't. As your baby takes up more and more space in your body, your diaphragm at the base of your ribs can't dome down as it would normally when you breathe, so your breath can get very compressed. So things like working over a computer, which might already cause compression in your upper back and your lung capacity, that's going to be exacerbated. Very often people are a little bit asymmetrical anyway, so most people have got one leg longer than the other, for instance, even if it's only slight. Then with the weight of the baby, that can cause stuff going on in the hips, in the pelvis, in the spine, which obviously just that awareness can really help to shift. So, you know, all the common, you know, ailments really of pregnancy can really be alleviated just by very simple movements. And it doesn't need to be complicated. That's what's great about yoga, is it really is simple stuff that makes the difference.
And there are a few key issues that pregnant ladies often will complain about throughout pregnancy, and I was hoping you might give us some tips for those listening who might be experiencing these. So one that we touched upon, or you just mentioned a second ago, backache.
A couple of things, really simple. One thing I always recommend to my ladies is a yoga ball. So importantly, they come in different sizes. Some of them are teeny, some of them are huge. Get one that means that when you're sitting with your feet on the floor, your hips are slightly higher than your knees. So mine needs blowing up a bit. And then standing with, or sitting on your ball with your feet grounded, so just really spreading out your toes, spreading out your heels, noticing how your weight is distributed. Because quite often backaches can, in life as well as in pregnancy, can be because of the way we stand. So quite often if women stand habitually with their toes turned out, then that's going to turn out the ankles, going to turn out the knees, going to turn out the hips, which is going to pinch the lower spine. Same as if your feet are turned in, that can change the angle of the hips. So just by squaring off your feet and being more aware of how you stand and how you sit. And then just little circling movements. So I'll show you on the ball, you know, you just sit and just do little circles so that any nerves, like the sciatic nerve, which runs through the back of the pelvis, you know, if that gets caught by the bones which move during pregnancy, the peaks are in the first and the third trimester, when relaxing obviously softens everything so that the baby can move and the body can expand. That's when sometimes the nerves can get pinched, or the bones can rub up against each other a bit, or the muscles can get pulled. So just really sort of simple little circling move.
I think I possibly have pushed myself a bit when I do certain poses, because I just feel like I need to make substantial difference to how the shape of my body. But actually in your class I did learn that actually it was just tiny little movements sometimes it was all I needed.
And that's a really important, that's where the psychological benefits of yoga are huge, because what we're actually learning there is the antithesis of what we feel in everyday life, that we have to be doing big stuff to make a difference. And exactly as you say, just sometimes coming back into the subtle and really subtle movements and stillness, you can hear much more than if you're in sort of gross big wide movements, which can be really useful as well, because obviously you're talking about strength too. We want to strengthen the thighs, because, you know, we need to be able to hold our babies as they get bigger during pregnancy. We want to be able to support opening in the hips, you know, big space for the chest so that you can breathe deeply, so that you can, as people always say, breathe your baby out. Everyone's heard that phrase, which is just using your exhalation to really release tension and stress. So, you know, it always comes back to this marriage of the physical and, you know, the breath and the emotional, and sort of seeing yourself as a whole, you know, working on all levels.
Got a couple of friends who've complained about sciatica specifically. So that's quite a common one, isn't it?
It's normally on the lower spine. It can go all the way down the thighs and the back of the legs as well. It's normally like a sharp pain. And just the very, very simple way to alleviate that is, again, if you either stand with your feet broad on the floor, knees just slightly bent, hips soft, so everything nice and soft, and just if you do little figures of eight with your hips, you can also do that sitting on the ball, or you can do that, I'll show you as well, on all fours, either leaning on the ball or with your hands on the floor, just doing little figures of eight, just because it creates space.
Right, yeah.
So, and that will also be very useful when you actually give birth, because your baby's moving down the birth canal, and obviously there's some points where it's narrower, some yeah. points where there's more space. So just those little subtle movements can really help your baby on the journey that they're making.
Right, wiggle it out. Yeah. Wiggle it out with figures of eight. Moving on to something I've personally experienced, yes. is kind of pelvic pains. Yes,
so where have you experienced it?
Well, it's just kind of all, just yeah. feels like it's everywhere, really, all my groin area and, yeah.
Yeah, so the thing to mention there is, women, if you have very, very strong sensations right in the centre of the pelvis, that can be indicative of a softening in the pubic symphysis, which can be problematic. So it's always worth mentioning to your midwife and getting professional help yeah. for that. But if it's general stretching, which sounds...
I had, it was just an overall ache everywhere.
Then again, just stretching out, so, you know, breath, movement, noticing how you habitually sit, how yeah. you habitually stand. So yeah. one of the things I'm always saying to my ladies in the class is, lovely that they come to the class, but much more useful to them if they do little things every day.
Right, okay. Regular action of your kind of poses.
Yeah, and awareness. So, you know, how you're sitting there is great. So, you know, nice cross-legged poses where everything's symmetrical.
Yeah.
Rather than, quite often you see women just... fall down and they're sort of slumped and the pelvis is all out of alignment, the back's right. out of alignment, and then with all that extra pulling that's going on and all the extra stretching, that's going to manifest in discomfort. So just it's an opportunity when we're pregnant to really come into the body in a way that maybe we never have before. And then hopefully that will continue in much more positive patterns for the rest of a woman's life, that they will have that awareness of how their body is postnatally, that then carries on through to help them in perimenopause, menopause, and beyond.
And actually there are links with your kind of positioning, and if you stand tall and sit up and have your head held high, just generally that, you know, kind of... exudes a sense of confidence and happiness and all that sort of stuff.
Which actually does manifest in, you know, can't guarantee you happiness, but it will manifest in your emotional feelings as well, because if you're hunched over, you can't breathe properly, so your muscles toxify. So, and that stress doesn't have a release. So going back to what I was saying about breathing out your baby, just really concentrating on the exhalation being really long, so that then the next inhalation is full. Right. So that you're getting as much new air as possible, and that flow happens. It's all about coming back to a place of everything flowing well, so that there's space physically, space emotionally for the breath to just completely flow.
You do its thing. Amazing. Thank you. Are there any certain poses that you should definitely avoid at all costs doing at home?
So certainly it's not the right time to start a practice on your own. If you've never done yoga before, go to a class with a professional teacher. So I would always recommend go to somebody who's got at least a 500 hours yoga teacher training, so it's Yoga Alliance accredited, and then on top of that has got extra training in pregnancy, so somebody who's really properly qualified to look after you, because there's lots of
don't push it
so as I was saying, so just getting into the space where really listen to your body. This is not the time to be competitive or push yourself or go for the burn and all those things. You know, even if you're somebody who loves the gym and loves that feeling of adrenaline, now is the time. There's an opportunity to be really strong in your body, but also to be stiller.
Yeah, touching upon the mindfulness aspect of yoga, and it is another area that you guys offer support with. Yeah. Can you tell us a bit about how it does help with your emotional state during pregnancy?
Absolutely. So it's totally relevant to giving birth and to pregnancies and to life in general. It's just being in the moment with relaxed attention is a very simple explanation of what mindfulness is, and that obviously comes from the yoga tradition. But it's just... really noticing how your emotions are, how your breath is, how your body is, moment to moment, without any judgment. So what we often tend to do is go, oh, I've got really bad pain in my pelvis. And then we extrapolate from that. That means, therefore, that my birth is going to be difficult. I'm going to have this for my whole pregnancy. Maybe it's going to get worse. None of those things that I just said have actually happened. You've just simply, at this moment, got pain in your pelvis. And what you could do is sit on your yoga ball, move about a little bit, and it might shift.
Yeah.
So it's about being much more present and less caught up in the mind. Yes. And that's obviously very useful for pregnant women, you know, especially if they're, you know, having, you know, difficulties of any kind, is not to get caught up in the what might happen and keep on coming back to what actually is happening now. So very common in birth, you'll get a woman who's panicking because maybe the baby's breech, for instance. Of course, that baby might turn. It might be that the woman does end up having a C-section, but it's not a given.
Yeah.
So not getting caught up in all these worst case scenarios and coming back to, okay, what can I do in this moment? And of course, that's when birth partners can be really useful as well.
And I guess with regards to pregnancy, it's just the complete unknown for women, isn't it? It's something they, for a first time mum, they've never experienced a lot of these ailments. And knowing that you've got something that's so much bigger and more important than anything you've ever really experienced before going on, absolutely. I guess it's just that kind of sense of, oh my gosh, this is the worst case scenario, and you know, running ahead with yourself possibly in your mind.
It opens us up to, you know, the experience of vulnerability and of chaos, isn't it? And actually not being in control. We're so used to being able to control things by being able to buy a product or, you know, buy a service or do something.
Yeah.
And actually that's where the yoga and mindfulness keeps coming, is going, maybe you don't need to do anything. Maybe you just need to see what it is, what's happening,
and just
allow that, and that attitudinally you can shift your perception. So the most useful thing I found in pregnancy was when my teacher told me that you can view it as pain, but pain is something like if you broke your leg and it was totally pointless. So you fell down the stairs, you broke your leg, and you've got however many months on crutches. And that would be really irritating and pointless. But this is the birth of your baby, and actually energetically, it should be quite a big event to give birth to another human being, for it to come out, to grow and come out of your body. That should be quite a big energetic thing.
Yeah.
So if you see your pregnancy and birth as, you know, the movement of huge energy, and that you know, that is really powerful then. Mm-hmm. And you can come into your birth feeling really excited and empowered that your body is doing this incredible thing. Mm. That you can't control, that you can't make a spreadsheet to sort out. You see what I mean?
Yeah.
But actually, that's really amazing, because it takes you out of all that head stuff that we get caught up in on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah. Oh, that's nice. That's a positive statement there to end our catch-up. Thank you so much, Leonie, for sharing your tips with us. For those that are keen to come along to your classes, so you've got your pregnancy yoga, but you've also got a dedicated mindfulness session as well. So fill us in on the times and dates.
Great. Well, we've got at the Phoenix Centre coming up, we've got You Me Be Becoming a Parent, which is for both parents. So those will be 4-week courses, which I can give you all the website details. And those will be running monthly time. I will be running partner yoga sessions as part of that as well. So, you know, together you can learn things that you can do that will facilitate a more easeful physical side to it. And in the mindfulness sessions, Hilary will be exploring all different approaches, meditation, what we've been talking about, just the pregnancy yoga, which is every Wednesday evening at the Hanover Centre, 7:30 to 9. It's great. And it's a drop-in as well, so you can just come along to that. And then, you know, as a new parent, we've got You Me Mamas, which is our weekly groups. There's one in Hove at the Tree of Life on Thursdays. There's one on Monday mornings at the Phoenix Centre. And we've got the online groups as well to support that whole transition.
Do you have a Facebook page?
Yes, Centred Space Yoga. And there's also You Me Mamas, spelled U-M-E Mamas, M-A-M-A-S, which is a closed group, obviously only open to mums. There's You Me Papas as well to support the dads. We will be starting a physical group for the dads in the near future as well. And we also have counsellors at the Phoenix Centre, massage therapists, cranial osteopathy, all sorts of things. So, you know, I can give you all the details.
Thanks to Leonie from Brighton-based yoga company Centered Space there. I've been to her classes and I can vouch that they are fantastic. So do check her out on her Facebook page, A Centered Space, for more information. Guys, it's been a jam-packed show. I feel like it's kind of whizzed past. You have been listening to The Mothership on Radio Reverb with me, Josie Booth. I hope you've enjoyed listening. Now, do stay tuned next month for our final stages special.